Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Our Take on It. It's girl Deborah and Jackie, and we're in the studio. And today we're going to talk about selective gender pronouns and gender fluidity. What does all that mean? That sounds like a bunch of people who don't know who they are and are on a quest to find out or to create their own narrative as to what this should be, which is exactly what it is in society today. People are just going with how they feel and not the truth. And the truth is, we were wonderfully and beautifully made in the image of God. So let's start with gender selective. Like, we've heard this term used so loosely, and for most culture, it is not something that they embrace. Some culture do it, some culture don't do it. I know, like in the Indian culture, it is very much a thing where the woman has to bear the first child as a son. Otherwise, that's going to become a total waste of, you know, genes coming out.
She's going to have to keep doing it, you know, if she doesn't get the son.
But even if a daughter does come, she's going to feel like a second class family citizen.
Absolutely.
You know, she's not going to feel superior in any way. She's not going to feel accepted. And I think that's where the breakdown of mental illness really starts. It's the rejection of who you are as a person that turns another person into becoming something else that they think will be accepted by society. And so this is where this whole confusion is really coming into play.
Well, yeah, there's a devaluation of your sense of worth. Like, I mean, you know, they used to have a one-child policy in China going back many years. It's now been adjusted, but basically that's what they want. They wanted a male child, you know, and without question, you mentioned Indian culture, and it has a monetary aspect to it, because many people in India, you know, they go by the caste system, and the caste system is a class-based system. And, you know, in certain communities, even rural areas of India, you have to, the family has to have money, you know, to pay to have their daughter, you know, marry an influential male. And if the male child, they have the negotiating power if they're the ones, you know, choosing the woman, you know. So it has a monetary aspect to it. So basically, they're saying automatically, you know, that women are devalued. And this is obvious also in the Middle Eastern culture. You know, the male is much more preferential, you know. And so this is terrible, you know, that from a young age, as you say, this can really debilitate women, probably from a mental capacity, because you're told, you know, you're not as good. You know, you're specifically defined by how a man classifies you. And sadly, if that man is chosen for you, and sometimes it is a case of an arranged marriage, that man can beat you, do anything to you. You are a tool in his hand. You know what I mean? You have no rights. All the rights are determined by the status that the man imposes on you. Mm-hmm. So that's a horrible thing. You know, how can a woman see herself in a valuable position and follow the godly principle that you're a child of God, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 says, which is a beautiful psalm that everyone should read. You know, because it tells you that God has a great plan for your life. With you, everything is possible because you have value. So that is very important.
And then we move into the gender, the gender fluidity. Now, we live in a society that is obsessed with the change of their anatomy, the change of their gender. It's just, they're basically saying, listen, God created me, but he made a mistake. And if I know my truth about the Bible, God does not make mistake. God is very intentional about what he does. And it started from creation. When God created this earth, he made sure that everything had access to regenerate itself. He made Adam. Adam didn't have a female with him. He said, nope, Adam, everything is matched. Now you look lonely. I'm going to create you a partner. He created Eve from Adam's rib. So now Adam has a woman, and a woman's job, because remember, Eve became the mother of all living things. So when I see people today in society that say that they were born in the wrong body and that they were born as gay or they were born as. I reject it in the name of Jesus. And I reject it for the purpose of truth, that the Bible does not lie. God said you were wonderfully and beautifully made in my image. And that's exactly what I'm going by. We live in a society where we feel like we can change our mind today to become this and
I love that word. Yeah, that is really what it is. Like, I mean, you know, people think they can choose their thoughts these days. I love that. That the feeling, you know, that if I feel this way, I am going to make a change, you know, because I feel this way.
And I'm going to impose it on society so that they can accept me for who I say I am, you know. And there is really a devaluation in who you are because you're actually devaluing yourself. You're no longer valuable once you change the defineness or the definition of who you are. You're created as a male and you want to live a female life. That's a devaluation.
It's very confusing to me. Like I'm looking up these terms, gender fluid, gender queer, non-binary. And basically, as you're saying, Deb, this really means leaving your birth sex behind.
Abandoning it.
Yes, you're abandoning it and you're creating a new classification system for yourself. You're saying, okay, I want this to be known to the world. I want my passport to reflect this, you know? I want my my health card to reflect this. All of the documents.
All my identification.
Yeah, to navigate ourselves in this world, I want to be known as somebody that doesn't think of themselves as a male or female, but just floating in the ocean of, you know, naked abandonment.
Not only that, I want my Human Rights Act to update itself based on my thoughts of who I am.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's really crazy. So it's like, if I don't identify myself as a man and I was born a male, I don't want to use the term he, him, or his. That should not exist in my vocabulary because I'm not a man. And for a woman who doesn't see herself as a woman, she doesn't want to use the term she, hers, or her.
No.
Yeah. She just doesn't want to use those, and he doesn't want to use them. So, and then you've got this transgender, which I must admit, it confuses me. I know what it means, but there's transsexual and there's transgender. And as far as I can tell, a lot of men that you see who dress every day as a woman, okay, so they may put a wig on, they do the makeup, you know, they wear the skirt, they shave their legs, you know, and they want to look pretty.
Right.
Yeah, they want to look like a woman.
Well, they haven't gone through the transformation. They're just acting like a woman.
Well, yeah, but the penis is still there.
It's still
under
there.
That skirt.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, technically, it's very confusing to me. You know what I mean? Like, when people say, okay, they've got, like, the gender queer community is in so many classification systems because it's almost like, you know, you have homosexual, you have bisexual, you have transgender,
pansexual,
you know, and it is across the board, this spectrum. It just really comes down to the fact that I am not pleased with who God made me to be. How can I redefine myself? And basically I'm saying that you made a mistake. You didn't create me the way I should have been. How I was born physically is not how I see myself mentally. And this is a really challenging situation.
Well, that part where they say, you said, I don't see myself that way. And they want to use that as gender dysphoria. But gender dysphoria is like a delusion. It's a mental illness that you believe in something that is not even there. You believe in the fact that you're a woman when you're actually a man. And you want everybody else on the external to see you that way.
Yes.
Anything else contrary to that will make you unhappy. You're already unhappy in a body that you don't appreciate.
Yes.
Let alone for somebody to deny you the right to become who you want to become. And so now we have society who are actually fostering these people to say, yes, we stand with you. We see you. We know what you're saying is your truth. This is your truth. You're living your truth. We're going to embrace your truth, and we're going to make a policy around your truth, and we're going to have the rest of the world commit to your truth. Now, this has gone way overboard.
Yeah.
Because now you... First of all, everything has to be done by consent. I did not consent to accept you for who you are. Because half the time, you don't even accept me for who I am as a heterosexual, let alone a black woman.
Yeah.
So why should I come and be confirmed to your mental illness of who you think you are? You are not a man. You're a woman. You're not a woman. You're a man. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I am not supporting you and your delusions. But then, of course, the public will say, oh, you're being what? Phobia. Homophobic.
Yeah,
you're being
prejudicial.
You're being this. You're being that. How is it that I'm being something that I truly believe in my heart? Because if we're going here by feelings and I feel like I don't conform to your truth, shouldn't my truth be accepted as
and
a conformity?
Truthfully, I'm being discriminated against if I feel, you know, as a Bible-believing Christian, you know, that I'm happy with the sex I was born. And if I feel that, you know, say I was a parent and a child approached me and wanted to make these kind of changes, I would feel very, very bad for my child. And it would probably cause my child to turn against me. So in effect, people who want to change their gender, they hate what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And they are making a judgment about people who believe in its concepts. They're saying they're wrong. You know, I was born in the wrong body. And this is something that I should not have to accept who I was born, which is me, which would mean I believe in what the Bible says. I don't have to accept that. I can create my own reality. So you people are wrong. What the Bible says is nonsense. I am different than who I was created to be.
Well, the fact that the Bible has been written for thousands of years and it is the number one selling book of all times, and it has all the prophecies of truth that is coming out left, right, and center, and is plaguing our world with prophecies of truth. And you're telling me that the Bible is wrong. Now, the people who are saying the Bible is wrong is because they haven't read the Bible. Because if they read the Bible, they would be convicted about the truth, and they would not have anything else to say to go off of. But because they haven't read the Bible, that is their proclamation. The Bible is wrong because the Bible will not confirm to their delusion. The Bible will not accept what they're saying, but they would have to accept what the Bible is saying. And so in order for me not to accept what the Bible is saying, which is truth, I'm going to reject it and choose my own path, because the first thing that God did was give me free will, and I'm going to use my free will as I see fit to fit my agenda. And my agenda is I am in the wrong gender.
Exactly. And the thing is, you have very famous people who can go through a major transformation and can afford the costs and the time surgical wise and write about it and discuss their journey of discovery. And this is out there for young people to see. And I think there's a problem in the sense that I feel that at a certain age, young people cannot conceptually make this decision about themselves. I don't think that they're strong enough emotionally. And I don't think your term mental disorder is too strong a term, because I do think that to a certain extent, it could be some kind of mental imbalance. Some kind of psychological imbalance. Because where is a young child getting these kind of feelings from? These notions, you know, that this serious transition in their life is something that is real to them at 6 years old, 8 years old, you know, 4 years old. You hear kids saying, I'm starting to notice this, mommy. You know, I don't want to play with dolls. You know, I want to play with trucks. You know, I see myself in a more masculine way. I don't see myself as feminine. You know, I don't want to do these girly things. You know, I don't want a bra. You know, how are children getting this conceptualization that they can do these things?
Like I say, Jackie, there's a growing obsession around gender identity and the never-ending list of gender types, and it's crazy. It's literally a mental illness, and I stand by that, because the thing is, why I say it's a mental illness It's because behaviors are being thought, and it's been proven. Because if it's not something that is being thought for you to kind of, you know, have it there as a thought, it's because they're bringing it, they're introducing it to in school. So if you're introducing a curriculum in school to teach children how to become, it is a learned behavior.
I think so.
And it can be unlearned. So it's not a DNA. It's not a genealogy where you were born who you say you're not. This is not what that is. This is something that is very much, what word can I use for this? It is.
It's kind of prevalent.
Yes.
You know, and I think what's important here is to separate homosexuality from this gender issue, because I think it's two different things.
I think
to a certain extent, some people can be born, you know, men can be more effeminate and perhaps discover at some point in life, maybe when they're adults, that their sexual preference is another man. So I think that is different. I'm not saying that I support that, because I don't, from a biblical concept.
No, but wait a minute.
I think when it comes to gender, though, that we are predominantly talking about younger people. We're talking about people who perhaps have not fully lived life that are making decisions about their sex.
And this is why this thing is so confusing, because on the LGBTQIAU+ system or community, it is very confusing, because not only do you have homosexuality, which is either you want to be with a man or you want to be with a woman, it has nothing to do with your gender,
right?
You're not changing it. It's just a sexual preference of what you prefer.
Yes.
Whereas a gender dysphoria is where you say, I was born as a man, but I am literally a woman. In my head, I'm a woman.
Yes.
Physically, I'm a man.
Yep.
That is something where I say, you wasn't born that way.
And I agree.
You were born with a defined identity.
A sexual identity.
You were born with a defined sexual identity.
Yes.
What you're trying to do is eradicate the definition of who you were born as to become who you want to be. That is something that is learned.
That's right.
That is not something that is at birth, or, you know, your mom was pregnant and then all of a sudden she's like, oh, I think a boy is kicking. Oh, no, I think she's in heels. She's going to be a girl.
Yeah.
No, it's nothing like that. You created this sort of narrative for yourself based on peer pressure, based on external information, based on worldview. As you would know, there's many of that thrown out there, right? And so these people are so far removed from society based on their mental stability.
I agree, because in a lot of cases, and it is proven that sometimes when people dive into this change with such a drastic passion to completely build another sex for themselves, it does cause mental problems, you know, at a later state, because it's a horrible thing to have to physically go through the transformation, but even more than that, to completely mentally align yourself with the lifestyle and the value system of another sex. That's a huge burden to put on an individual.
But at
That's
the end of the day, burden. but you know, you're taking on a risk. Okay, you're taking on an identity that you're not even able to live up to. Because number one, do you know as a man what it's like to live as a woman? I don't know what it's like to live as a man, because I'm not a man.
Exactly.
I don't have those traits. I don't have those components as a man to possess these sort of qualities. Neither do you as a woman. I have to deal with menopause. I have to deal with a period. I have to deal with hormones. I have to deal with, you know, whether I want my hair long or short, style preference. There's so many things. Then I have to deal with childbirth and raising those children. I'm no longer a single parent now. I'm a village, because it takes a village to raise a child.
That's right.
There's so many responsibility. My job starts when I wake up and it ends when I sleep. Clean the house, do the laundry. Not that it's really specifically dominated by women. Men can also take those roles, but most of the time you would hear to say housewives, not house husbands.
Yeah.
So there is a need, there's a real specific reason why women are women and men are men. Because we don't share the same sort of responsibility. We don't share the same sensitivity. We don't share the same thing. We can share love and bring us together to unite. But we all have our own separate emotional feelings. That's what differentiates us from the sex that we are.
And let's also focus on the fact that procreation is real. In biblical terms, when God created the earth, he created animals, insects, you know, things that are in the ocean or that crawl on the ground.
Yeah.
And everything was in pairs.
Okay? Yes.
So there's the idea of replication. You know what I mean? Being able to procreate, to have a race, to have a society, population. And no matter what you say, if you have two homosexual people, you're not going to ever conceive a child in that relationship. You have to have an outside person, you know, taking sperm and producing
IVF,
a baby for you. Exactly. You have to have another woman carry a child for you.
So what is your contribution here?
So you're not contributing anything, you know, to the society, because somebody else is going to have to use their body as a tool of procreation. You know, so
to aid you in your delusion.
Yes.
To think, well, I'm going to marry a man and we're going to have a family, and you're still going to use the person that you don't want to become. Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're a woman, but you said God made you in the wrong body, so you became a man, right? Okay, so now you become a man, you want to be with another man. Okay, fine. So now you guys want children. You're going to go back and use somebody who you were to do the job that you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, it does help me make sense of that.
Yeah.
Everything that God does, ladies and gentlemen, what we're trying to say, everything that God does is intentional. When he made creation, he made the trees in pairs. There's male trees and there are female trees, whether you realize it or not. The trees that is able to bear fruit, those are the trees that is female. Any tree that does not bear fruit is a male tree. So you have like your shrubs and all those kind of things, and you think, oh, that's not a fruit. We're talking actual fruit where you can eat. That's a female tree, okay? And then he created the animals. Every animal, it doesn't matter how ugly, like you said, even a porcupine will get humped.
Exactly. Okay?
We need more porcupines to be percolating in the system. You have to get a male and a female.
That's it.
Snake is the same thing. Fishes, whales, no matter, whales are mammals, right? You see, they have the period. They have babies, or whatever you call that, right?
Yeah.
Same thing for humans.
Yeah.
So if God was intentional about even slipping up and making two males to be, let's get it on like Marvin Gaye, well, this whole world would be like, okay, you know what? There is an example. God created those two. God talks about it in his word. So you know what? What is good for the goose is good for the gander. We can settle on that matter. But there is a biblical principle that is an abomination for you to change. Like, okay, here we go. Deuteronomy 22:5 says, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. He even continued in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, right?
Even specific to me.
Yeah.
I don't see any flexibility there in that classification.
No. Right?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 11:12 says, for as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. Right? Now, here is Matthew 9:4. He answered, have you not read that who created them from the beginning made them male and female? So, come on. If I bring more scriptural reference, clear. You will still tell me, well, it's my choice. It's my body, my choice. I do what I want. I have free will. I'm going to be a woman tomorrow. There's nothing you can do about it. And then you go and you chopped off your weenie, and then you put a hole in it, and you have to dilate. Ladies, guys, listen, if you decide to get rid of your male parts and you decide to put a vagina in the place where your dick is, you're going to have to dilate for the rest of your miserable life. And if you miss one day of dilation, that hole is going to close up because it's not natural. I've had my vagina for the last 50 years and it ain't closed yet. So can you imagine if I had a penis and I go and take it off and put a hole as a vagina?
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm in the wrong body and I want to make myself, you know, as a woman. I have to do work on my vagina for the rest of my life just so I can have a hole there to prove that I'm a woman.
And truthfully, I think a lot of men who want to be more female-like, I think they're aware of what a dangerous surgery that is. it is a dangerous surgery. And I think that's why many people don't, it affects arteries, blood flow, all kinds of things that can most definitely kill you. You know, so this is serious stuff, you know, that people are thinking of such a major transition, you know.
This is not your Ken and Barbie situation where you can take off Ken's arms and put it on any other day or whatever the case. No, this is real life situation. These are real people, real issues. And you don't mess with what the creator has created, right? And we know that we can all enjoy creation, but we don't have to worship the creator. But that is so wrong in its sense, and that's a whole different topic. But when God created you, he did not make a mistake. He did not. You are conforming to your own agenda. You are conforming to societal norms. You are conforming to the enemy's lies. He is the father of deception. He has lied to you, and very soon or later, you're going to find out that your whole life has been a lie. Oh my God. And the damage that's been done is irreparable. You cannot come back from it. So think before you act. You know, there is no score. He's not keeping score with you to say, well, oh, you did that for me. I'm going to make sure you... No. His plan is to destroy you. And the only way the enemy knows how to destroy you is through your mind. He will manipulate you. He will deceive you. Because he has to deceive you in order to defeat you. So once that deceive, you've bought into that deceive, oh my goodness. Nobody can change your mind. Not even you.
Wow.
You can go to the doctor and line the table and say, cut off my penis or cut off my vagina. I'm telling you, there's no coming back from that.
No, there isn't.
There is not. You cut off your breast to make it flat like a man.
Oh.
That's fine. But just so you know, the narratives that is out here, what media is not showing, the same media that is hyping you up, is the same media that is keeping you in the cold and in the dark about the real truth of how many people that has gone where you going and didn't make it back and are dead because of suicide, depression, anxiety, and all the psychological illness that they suffer. They suffer even more after they've done their transformation than before their transformation.
Without question. And occasionally you get a glimpse into tragic stories. But it's very rare. For the most part, it is more the seduction. You're seeing medical professionals, geared towards focusing on this procedure as a specialty. So they're making themselves known that this is where I work. And if you want to come and see me, I can make all this transition happen. So
it's all for collateral damage.
So it's being almost advertised and solicited, yeah. You know, in terms of saying, yeah, I get you. And sadly, it's even coming from authority figures, you know, such as parents who, you know, I mean, all parents want to oblige their children. They want to make their children happy. But really, children are coming at their parents with really bizarre wishes and requests.
No, but these parents are lying to their children, but by confirming to their children's idea of something that they know in their heart. Because why didn't your parents have the opportunity to change her gender instead of giving birth to you? Why didn't she just do that? She could have just done that, but she knew who she was. And to deny you of who you are with that she gave birth to, she's not a good parent. Straight up. Any parent that can deny their children the right, I'm denying you the right to change who you are, is a good parent. I am sorry, because she believes in who she serves, and she believes in the right thing. And obviously she's much 10 times smarter than the world gave her credit for. But you're not listening to your parents, because if your parents is telling you the truth, that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear what society has to offer you. You want to go viral on TikTok, or you want to go on Instagram and show off my new butt or my new this or my new transformation.
Well,
I'm coming to my own.
These people are promoting it. When they you know, have made the change themselves, misery loves company,
yep.
As I like to say. They want to get out there and tell you how great this is, you know, and that they've never been happier. They've never been more fulfilled. They're so glad that they went through this 5 or 7 year period of transitioning, and now they're who God wanted them to be. And they throw the whole biblical context in this situation, and it just goes on and on and on. Well, I mean, this is a volatile issue.
We've
been talking for a while. We let the numbers get away from us. But I think everybody should really listen to this, because the purpose of this podcast is a godly presentation.
Yes.
We want to put things in a spiritual context that makes sense and give a message. And that's what we're doing here. So listen to this, listen to your children, but use God's word to be the first guiding factor in their life.
Exactly.
And in their personal sense of worth and value.
Exactly. And when in doubt, leave it out. But most importantly, you pray about everything. It doesn't matter how small it is or whatever the issue is. Pray about it. God will direct you. And for a person who is thinking of transitioning, maybe you should think about praying to God and ask God, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this way? And God will always lead you to the truth. The Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth. My name is Deborah.
And my name is Jackie.
Thank you for listening.
Thank